We begin the current daf. Masechet Bechorah is daf mem gimel. Begin four lines down with the top of the yamut, where the Gemara begins the next parak, the seventh parak of Masechet Bechorah, called Parak Mumen Elu, which continues back on the theme of the previous parak regarding Al Elu Mumen, which that's where our Mishnah begins and says that Mumen Elu, these blemishes that we said in the previous parak regarding the firstborn animal, and that says our Mishnah, Bein Kavu and Bein Ivrin. Whether if regards to the halacha we're going to be talking about now, whether they're permanent, which was the qualification of the previous parak of the Bechor Behema, that it's only going to be permitted out of the Beis HaMikdash if it's a permanent blemish, regarding the halacha we're speaking about now, whether it's permanent or even if it's temporary, as long as the blemish is there, paislin ba'adam, they are considered invalidation regarding a person, regarding a kohen doing the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, where those are qualifications that apply to a person. Now, the Yesra lane, says our Mishnah, but additionally, besides those of the previous parak, there are other disqualifications for a person, meaning a kohen doing the Avodah, where a mum is a blemish in the kohen, just like a mum is a blemish in the laws of Bechor. And they are Hakiloin, V'halafton, V'hamakfon, where the Gemara will explain what these are, and V'shereshe Shokut, V'skifis, which also the Gemara will explain what these disqualifications are as a mum in the kohen doing the Avodah. Now, continues the Mishnah, U'balich HaTaris, a person with a problem with their spine, meaning that he's a hunchback, they have a disagreement if that's considered a blemish or not. Now, however, regarding the case that we mentioned before of Kiloy and Liftim and all those other ones, that's according to everyone that that's considered a blemish in the Kohen doing the Avodah. Says the Mishnah, HaKireach Pasal. If the Kohen is bald, that's invalidation. Says the Mishnah, Ezeu Kireach, what's considered a mum of being bald? If he doesn't even have a row of hair circling around from one ear to the other ear, if he doesn't have that, that's considered bald, that's a mum for the kohen. But if he has at least that, that's going to be valid, and that won't be an invalidation because of being bald for the avodah of a kohen. Now the Gemara wonders, amai. Why are we saying, as we open up this parak, this Mishnah, Mumen Elu, that we said that the blemishes of the previous parak regarding the Bechor Behema are invalidations by a person, by a kohen doing the Avodah, but V'iki Yabelis, there's the Mum of a wart, which we mentioned in the previous parak, Delek Siv by Reisab Adam. It doesn't say that in the Torah that it's an invalidation by a person, by a kohen. Why are we saying that all those Mumen apply to a person? The Su, moreover, Dak, Tavalel, this of having a cataract, or of the eyes, the pupil and the iris are mixed together again, which was mentioned in the previous parak as being a blemish by a Bechor. That's a blemish, like Sivi Behema. That doesn't mention that by Behema. So why are we saying that the Behema has that mum? Because we understand regarding all those other blemishes we mentioned in the previous parak, where although they're not explicit in the pasuk, for example, regarding its gums or regarding the tail of the calf, we said if the tail doesn't reach by the top of the hip, that we know because the pasuk says kol mumra, anything that's a bad blemish. But dak and taval, that's the Gemara's question, there from the fact that the Torah reveals that that's considered a blemish by a person, meaning by a kohen, and it doesn't say by behema, so the inference would tell us that that's not invalidation by behema. So how are we saying that certain blemishes by behema when it only says by adam, and how are we saying in our parak that certain blemishes by adam which only say by behema? Says the Gemara, Mei lefialfi ma'dadi. Right, we learn that the blemishes of Bechor behema and adam by a kohen, one from the other. The time look, learn the Braisa. But Adam Loinema by Yabelis, says the Brayer. So you're right, by a person, by a kohen, it doesn't say the invalidation of a mum being by a wart. And the Behema Loinema Dak Taval, and by an animal, doesn't say a problem about a cataract or the mixture of the eye. Minayin litnes amishal zebezeh, es amishal zebezeh, says the Brayer. So how do I know to apply each mum of one category to the other one? Tamaleimer, because it says garv garv, and yalefis yalefis. It says these two different types of boils that we explained the previous stuff in the previous parak that we said that there's these two types of boils, and it says them both, Gerv and Yalefis, both by Bechor Behema and by the Mum of a kohen. Why? To make a Gzeres Shavah, to learn out the halachas of one from the other. Now, says the Gemara Mufni, it must be that these words are extra, which then, when you learn a Gzeres Shavah from extra words, that we're not going to ask such a question on such a hekesh, on such a gzeres shavah. because the ilay mufni, because if the words are not extra, then although you can make a gzeira shav, but then you could refute it if there's a question to say that it's not muchach, that it's not exclusive that you have to say that idea. Because if it wasn't extra ikle mifach, then you could refute this gezeira shav and say, no, adam mebehema lo yalav, you can't learn out the laws of a person being a blemish from the laws of an animal, shekein hiyatz mekreb legam mizbech. By an animal, it's more severe, and maybe only there it has those blemishes, because the animal itself is sacrificed on the mizbech. Whereas the person, he himself is not sacrificed, maybe that would not be considered a mum. And also, behemah ma'adim lo yalfi, wouldn't be able to learn out the laws of an animal from that of a person, that by a person it's a blemish. Shekin nisrabi b'mitzvahs, because a person has more mitzvahs, and maybe he's more severe. So therefore, says the Gemara, yes, it's true, afnuy mafni. The word is extra, and therefore you can't ask a question on that gzeira shava, because lichter brechmon yalef, it's v'lei b'yagarav. The Torah, we said, mentions both by Adam, by Kain, and by behemah, b'chir behemah, these two types of boils. One is Yalefis and one is Garv. But the Torah could have only written Yalefis, and I wouldn't have to tell you Garv, as we explained these two different types of boils on the previous daf, because Va'ana Amina, I would have said, Uma Yalefis Deloy Mi'isa, if this Yalefis, which is a type of Chazazis, which is not something repulsive, because it's actually moist, it's not so dry, and yet Havamum, it's still a blemish, so garv demoy, so garv, which is more repulsive than yalefis, because that's very hard, like pottery, like earthenware, and it gets submerged in the flesh, and it makes these cuts inside the person, like kolshikin, obviously that's going to be a blemish. So therefore, garv, the kazav achman olamali. So why to say this garv type of a mum, of a boil, by both by Adam and Behema, when I could have known it by each one where it says already yalefis, oh, lafnui, it's extra words to tell you, making this gzeira shava, and therefore we can't ask a question, and that's how we know the halachas of one apply to the other, answering the questions that we started off with. But the Gemara still asks, v'lichtavrinu rachmanu kulu, let the Torah have written all the blemishes, which we have these categories in our previous parak and this parak, let it have written all the blemishes, b'chad, by one of them, either by Adam, by Kain, or by Behema, by Bechar. V'garev v'yalefes hachav hacha. And then you would have also written by each category, garev and yalefes. As we said, because garev is the gzeirah shava, and yalefes, why you have to say that, is to reveal that the garev, the words are extra, that it's mufn. So you could have written garev and yalefes by both Adam and Behema, and then v'leil v'machada. Then you could have learned out one from the other, because gzeirah shava is comparing the two of them. Why does it have to say iver, peseach, shaver, being blind or lame or broken by both Adam and Behema, when you would have learned one from the other? So it's Gemara, no, ahai, which one? Behai licht rachmana, by which category should the Torah have written all the blemishes and learned out the other one from that one? And that is, ikas about Adam, had we written it by the kayin, by the person, havimina, I would have said, yes, this is gzeira shava, and we can learn a behemah from Adam. But called the possible Adam, possible behemah, then I would have only known whatever is a mum by person is a mum by behemah. But kalud, if the bottom of the foot is round, or v'chutin, or regarding the gums, delesnu ba'adam, which that doesn't have application by a person, because first of all, a person does not have split hooves, to say that it's a blemish if the bottom is rounded. And moreover, the blemish of the gums don't apply by a person, because a person has teeth, and the gums are not visible. Whereas by an animal, his teeth are higher up, and the gums are visible, and therefore, that's what we said in the previous parak, that these blemishes regarding the notches in the gums. But by Adam, which doesn't have these two mumen, I would say, that okay, therefore, there's not going to be mumen by an animal either. That's what the Torah had to write to you, the blemishes by an animal, and there it counted that if the feet are rounded, or if the gums were notched, whereas that of nigmumen, that we learn not from Charetz. But that's why we had to say it, because you wouldn't have had everything by Adam, because there's certain mumen that only apply by behemah. So the Gemara says, okay, the other way around. V'licht rechmana kula b'behema. So we should have written all the blemishes by behema and learned that Adam from behema. Says the Gemara, no, havimina, I would have said, same problem. Kol the pasal b'behema, pasal b'adam. Okay, whatever is a blemish by an animal, yes, the gzeir shav would tell you is a blemish by person. But gibein v'charim delesnu b'behema. But gibein, which is when the eyebrows are very long, which animals don't have the eyebrows. And charim, which is when the nose is submerged between the two eyes, and an animal doesn't have the nose between the eyes, that we don't have those blemishes by an animal. So I would have said, but Adam Nami Lilifsul, that by a person also would not have been a blemish. Therefore, you have to say it by a person. But the Gemara still asks, okay, so you're right. We can't learn out everything, Adam from Behemoth or Behemoth from Adam. But the licht of a Rechmana kul b'chad. But our question still pertains. Let us have written the bulk of them, blind, broken, which we said that they both have. Let the Torah have written all those blemishes by one of them. Now the hanach, the less nu be'idach, but those which are not by the other one, which doesn't pertain, like we just pointed out, licht of Rechmana b'behemoth. Let the Torah have written that by an animal, and so to the opposite. Hanach the less nu be'idach, licht of Adam, that which does not pertain to the other one. So we would have written that by a person. V'gerv v'yalefes hachav hacha, and each one would have written gerv and yalefes. Again, gerv to make the gzir shav, and yalefes to say that it's extra to be mufna, not to ask in the gzir shav. And then malef ma'adadi, and they learned that at least the other ones from the other one, like yiver and piseach and shaver. Why do we have to say that by both of them? Ela rather says the Gemara, the answer is ketan and b'shmol. The Tan b'shmol, like it was taught by the Tan and the Shiver b'shmol, called parasha shenemer v'nishnas. Any parasha, any topic that was said already and is being repeated in the Torah, le'nishnas el b'shvil davish neschadish, but the whole parasha is only being repeated because of one thing that's being introduced as a novelty. Now, here by each one, there's a chiddush. By a person is because b'kibin and charm, behema is because kolot v'chutin, which we mentioned is only by behema, and the other one is only by Adam. And you're right. Although the other ones are blind and broken, those things we could have learned out from the other one. But once we were saying it, we say over the whole parasha again, and that's why we repeat it, even though we have Gzeir Shavah, because there are certain things that it doesn't say about each one, which we are learning from the other one. But the rest, once we're saying it, we say it even though we already said it once before, or we could have known it some other way, Bishul Davish and Eschadish, but because of what we do have to introduce that's new, and that's why we're saying it, even though we could have known it from somewhere else. Now, Amar Rava, he clarifies and he says, Lamli the Kasar Rachmana, why did the Torah have to say Mumba Adam? Why did it have to say that blemishes are invalidations by a person, meaning by a kohen doing the Avodah? Mumba Kachim, it also mentions in the Torah the flaw of blemishes by Karbanis that invalidates it. And Mumba Bukhar, it also says in the Varm Tezvav, Chiyi by Mum, that there's blemishes in the firstborn animal. Why does it have to mention it by all three? Says Rava, because Tzrich, you needed to. Because of Achman and Mumba Adam had the Torah only written that blemishes are a flaw by the kohen doing the Avodah Shekinah Shabbat b'mitzvahs. I would say a person, someone that has a lot of mitzvahs, therefore there's more stringent criterion. You have a mum, therefore it's a problem. Now, but I would not have known the other ones would have the same problem as Adam. Moreover, had we written that it's a flaw by Bechayr and not written by the other two, so I would have said Adam and Bechayr Behema Le'asi. A person cannot have been learned out from that is considered a blemish by the firstborn animal, because I would say, what do we find by Bechayr? It makes sense that blemishes should invalidate it. Shekinu atzma karv l'mizkab mizbech, because the Bechayr animal itself is sacrificing mizbech in contrast to a person. So I would not have known that a mum is a psul by a person. And so to kachim b'Bechayr li'as, I would not have known other karbanis to learn out from the laws of the Bechayr behema, because the Bechayr is more severe, more stringent, that it's sanctified from birth, from the womb. So I would maybe have only thought it only applies to Bechayr Behema. Moreover, continues the Gemara, had the Torah written mum as a problem by Kachim, but not have written by the other two, we would not have known those other two from Kachim. Because, as the Gemara explains, Adam Kachim Li'asi, I would not have known the blemish is considered a problem by a person, by a kohen from Karbanas, Shekin Hei Natsman Kareven, because Kachim themselves are sacrificing contrast to the person. So maybe there it's considered Ipsul. And Bechayr B'Kachim Li'asi, I would not have known the firstborn animal from Kachim, although Bechayr is also sacrificed, Shekin Kudushasi Miruba, because by Kachim, there's a greater quantity of sanctity where it applies to Karbanas Chatas, Hashamas, Eilis, and Shlamim. So that's a greater category of sanctity. Therefore, their mum is a problem, whereas Bechayr is only one. Maybe I would have thought it's not a psul. So the Gemara says, okay, Chadim Chadu Le'asi. You pointed out that you would not have known one from any other one, and therefore you had to say all three. But Tesi Chadim Etarti. But let us learn out a third one from the other two, from the common denominator of those two, and therefore wouldn't have to say it by all three. Says Gemara, no, mehei tesa, which one you learn out? You want to say, okay, let the Torah not have written that a mum is a psul by the firstborn animal. And we could have learned out from the other two of Adam and Kachim. Says the Gemara, no, malahanach shekin kudushas and meruba. What do we find by Kachim and Adam that they have a greater quantity of sanctity? Kachim from Chatois, Hashemes, and Eros, and Shlam. And a person, he has a greater sanctity in these quantity of mitzvahs that he has. And v'noigim b'pshutin. Also, the common denominator that they have is that it applies to even non-firstborns, and therefore we would have thought to say, therefore, a mum is a psul there, and not by Bechayr. Says the Gemara, okay, loy lichtiv b'kachim and teisim hanach. Don't write it by karbanas and learn it out from the other two. No, mala hanach shekein kudushasim aleim. By the kayin and by the b'char behema, their sanctity is automatic from birth in contrast to kachim, and maybe therefore they have the severity and they would not apply to kachim. Says the Gemara, loy lichtiv b'adam and teisim hanach. Okay, don't say it by kahanim and learn it from the other two. No, mala hanach shekein hein atzim and kriyim l'gam mizbech. I would have thought maybe it only applies to them, but b'char behema and by kachim, because they themselves are sacrificing, therefore mum is a psul. In contrast to kayin is just doing the avodah, maybe the mum would not be a psul. And Tzricha, therefore, had the Torah to tell you that mum is a psul by all these three categories of b'char behema, kachim, and adam, a kayin doing the avodah. Now the Mishnah continues said, and yes, alein ba'adam, there are more categories of mumin that are not even in the general category of mumin, like we said by b'chay behema, that are invalidations by a person by a kohen doing the avoda. Says the Gemara, Manan Mila, where do we know this from? Why are these considered problems by a kohen doing the avoda? So Rabbi Yechon says, because the pasuk says of Yikra, kol ish asher by mum mizera aron. Any person that has a blemish from the seed of Aaron is going to be invalidated from doing the avoda. Now the inference is, Ish sheshava bezara shel Aaron. It's only a person that's equal to the descendants of Aaron that needs a mum to invalidate him from doing the avodah. But if he's not the same as the seed of Aaron, means to say he looks different than a regular person, then even without a blemish, he would be invalidated. Which is this other category of not being shava bezara shel Aaron is already itself a problem of doing the avodah. Now, as we continue to the base, the Gemara asks, "My ika be mumma? What's the difference between a kohen that's invalidated by a bona fide mum, like that, similar like we had by b'char behema, l'she'ena shava bezar shel Aaron, to this new category that we're describing, that he's invalidated because he's not the same as the other children of Aaron, meaning like those categories that we're going to explain of Kilan and Liftin and all those other ones, which are not bona fide mumin, what's the difference?" Says the Gemara, Ikka Mishum Achule Avaida. The difference between those two categories is regarding the desecration of the service of the Avaida in the Beis HaMikdash. And that is Mumma Mochel Avaida. If he has a bona fide Mum, so then that actually is Machal, that desecrates, that considers not valid the Avaida that he did. Like the Pasuk says, in the Yikra it says, Mumba, he has a blemish, V'lo Yichal, he should not desecrate. Which is that if he has a Mum and he does the Avaida, he's Machal the Avaida. But if it's just not the same as all other people, but it's not a bona fide mum, that is not machal da avayda. It says the Gemara, it's actually a third category. That what's the difference between if he's just not the same like other descendants of Aaron and that of the appearance of the eye? For example, there are those that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that just because of Maris Ayin, where it's repulsive of someone to look at such a person. For example, if let's say his eyelashes fell out or if his teeth were taken out, where although that's not a mum, it's not even the problem of not being Shabbat Bezar Shel Aaron, but just the appearance to the eye, what's the difference between that category? The difference is regarding a violation of a positive commandment. Someone that's not the same as all the other Zera of Aaron, he violates a positive commandment if he does the Avodah, because that's how you could understand the Pasuk. Someone that's the same as the Zera of Aaron, he's a Kohen and he should do the Avodah. But if he's not the same, he shouldn't do the Avodah. Now, a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive commandment has the qualification as a positive commandment. So there's Asay, but Bemaras Ayin, it's not even a violation of an Asay, it's just that because of the fact of the appearance to the eye, we don't allow him to do the avodah, but that doesn't have a violation even of a positive commandment. Now the Mishnah said, as we described, these that are not shavah bezara shel Aaron, which is this middle category, so one of them the Mishnah said was kilin. What's kilin? Says the Gemara, the dummy reishila achla. His head is similar to the covering of the Talmudic barrels, which was pointy on the top, like a cone, and wide on the bottom. Another case the Mishnah said was lafta, which is a dummy ratio legadgalida delifta, that his head is similar to the top of a turnip. We are here, it's the other way, that the top is wide and it gets narrower as it gets towards the bottom. Now, Tanakh Litna Braisa that adds on, another case is b'tzavari oimid be'emtza ratio. If his neck is in the middle of his head, meaning to say that his head sticks out in the rear, just like it sticks out in the front, which generally the neck goes straight up, the spinal column, the spinal cord goes straight up to the back of the head, but here his neck is actually in the middle, and just like it pops in the front, it pops in the back, that's also considered that he's not, that in the shabbat bizarre shalom. Another case the Mishnah described was makfan. What is that? The dummy ratio makfan, that his head is similar to an X, where that the back of his head is round, and it's narrow in the width, similar to an X, that's also a mum. Another case the Mishnah described was a shereisha shakut. What's that? That's milfanav, where his head is slanty in the front like a diagonal, like Rashi says, like a certain carpenter's tool. That's considered a mum for a kain. Over sekifas, the Mishnah described, that's the same thing ma'achayrif, from the back, where the top of his head is missing in the back. Kedamrinchu, like people say, that the word sekifas is shekil pisa, that it seems like that as if a piece of his head is missing in the back. Oh, more of a ton of a lit in the braisa, v'tzavari shakut or v'shamet, if his neck is shakut or shamet. What's that? Says the Gemara, shakut is the chavya michvet, that if it's like concealed, meaning that his head looks like it's right between his shoulders, as if his head is sunken in, meaning like you don't even see the neck. And shamet is like the exact opposite, is the arach v'shamet, where his neck is very long and looks like disconnected from his body, where those are also considered mumim for the kain. The Mishnah went on to say, Ubal chataris, regarding if he's a hunchback. So then we had a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda b'chulu, we had a machlekes. So the Gemara qualifies and says, De'is ba'etzim, if this hunchback has an extra bone by this hunch, so then kule amali pligi de pasim, no one's going to disagree that that's considered invalidation. Ki pligi de les ba'etzim, their whole machlekes was if there's no bone. Mar savar, ha'in the shav bizar shalar. The Chum held, okay, still doesn't appear to be the same as the descendants of Aaron, and therefore it's a mum. But Rabbi Yehuda held that no, it's just another piece of flesh over there, and therefore that's not considered a psul of not being shavu b'zara shalaron. The Mishnah continued, it says, Hakireach pasul. The bold person is invalid, etc., which the Mishnah explained that it has to be that there's a row of hair going from ear to ear. Now, on that, Amar Rabbi qualifies and says, Loishanu, we didn't learn this psul, Elishainloi, only if he doesn't have this strand of hair that going around from one ear to the other ear, around the circumference of his head, la'achrav, in the rear, going from the back from one ear to the other. But Yeshle Lafanov, but he has this strand of hair going in the front. Now that's when we said that that's going to be a psul. Abul Yeshle La'achrav Kashr. But if he has the strand of hair going from one ear to the ear to the other one in the back, then he's going to be kasher. But kashkin sheyesh la'achav ein lefanav, and b'shor, if he has only in the back and not in the front, whereas Rashi explains, it's actually more beautiful that if he only has a strand going from one ear to the other in the back and not in the front, more than if he has actually all the way around from as a whole circle, and he has in the back and the front, and in the middle it's bald, that actually looks worse. So therefore, that's what Rav is saying, that it's only if he doesn't have in the back, but he has in the front. But if he has in the back and in the front, and for sure if he only has in the back, then he's going to be cautious that it's not a psul. Now, Vigid Demasna has Sefer, that those who learn Rav's qualification as teaching on the Sefer of the Mishnah, which therefore there's one difference in that qualification. The Mishnah said, Vim yesh leher is a kasha. If he does have this strand of hair going from ear to ear, then he's kasha. On that Amar Rav, he says, Loishan, we didn't learn that if he has the strand of hair going around his head that is kasher, Elishayesh Loi La'achrav, only if he has this strand going around from ear to ear in the back of his head, the Ein Loi Lafanav, and he doesn't have in the front. Aviyesh Loi Bein La'achrav, Bein Lafanav Pasul, this is the difference in regards to the first interpretation. Actually, if he has the strand going all the way around from ear to ear in the front and the back, that's actually absurd. That is considered bold, which is a mum. For sure, if he only has in the front and not in the back, and with the aim like clown, he doesn't have it all, the apostle where it's invalid, where there's four different categories, and the difference is one of the categories between the first and second version, where this last version holds, they're all a problem, whether he's totally bold, or if he has in the front and in the back, or if he only has in the front, the only one that's good if he has only in the back. Whereas the first version held that if he has in the front and the back, then that's also going to be kasher. Now the Gemara continues on Rabbi Yechanan, he says, HaKarchanin, the bold ones, VaHananasin, and the midgets, VaHazavlaganin, which is their eyes that they flow water, Psulin, they're invalid. Lefish Einishav Bezal Sha'aron, that's the middle Psul, because they're not the same as all the other descendants of Aaron. Now the Gemara wonders on this teaching of Rabbi Yechanan, KarChanin Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah already the case of the bold Kanim, and then Nasin Tanina, we learned the midgets in the Mishnah later on, where it says, Akipech, VaHananasin, VaCheresh. So what's Rabbi Yechanan teaching us? Says the Gemara, Zavlaganan Itzrach Leilashminan. He had to tell us the third of his three cases, that of the water that flows, which is not taught in the Mishnah. And also, actually, says the Gemara, even the first two cases, he had to tell us, Because in Mao Detema, well, you say that this, that the Mishnah says that those first two cases are possible, which yes, the Mishnah described, you would say maybe that's only Mishum Marasa Ayin. It's only because of the third qualification that they were invalidated, just because of the appearance to the eye. But actually, if they do that Vaidah, they're not even going to violate a positive commandment. That's Rabbi Yochanan to say that no, they're actually invalid because of the middle category, because She'en Eshav B'Zerah Shel Aaron. Now, that the Gemara wonders, but how could you have thought, without Rabbi Yechon, that would be a problem is because of the third category of Maris Ayin, but whenever it's a problem because of just how the appearance to the eye is just unsightly, Isna Katani, there the Mishnah explicitly tells us, for example, when it says, in the later Mishnah, it says if his eyelashes fell out, it says, possible name Maris Ayin. It's invalid because of Maris Ayin. So in our Mishnah, it's regarding Kachan and Nasa, which it doesn't say that, how we would have thought is that it's because of Maris Ayin, that Rabbi Yechon had to tell us that, no, because of Shein Neshavit Bezara Shalar. Now says the Gemara, no, Ma'udetema, what would you say? Tanachada v'huadin l'kolu. That it only says by one, but it actually would apply by all of them. Meaning in our Mishnah, when it starts by the hunchback and on, I would have thought that actually those are all cases of Maris Ayin. Because I would have thought to say this that we exclude in our Mishnah that, and we say because it's not Shavu B'Zerah Shel Aaron, it wasn't going back on before. We'd only be going on Kiloin and Liftin and Makvin, and those are the first category. But all the rest, we would have thought it's actually because of Maris Ayin, and therefore we Rabbi Yochanan to say that's not because of Sol She'en Shavu B'Zerah Shel Aaron. By that, the Gemara asks, how can you say that? For Kol Heicha De'ika Mahadir or Misne, whenever it goes ahead and it says again another case of Maris Ayin, Kahadir Batani, it says it again explicitly. It doesn't say once and then, oh, all those that included, we just don't specify, but really it's Maris Ayin. It says it again. For example, Vishenit Lushinov Pasal Mishum Maris Ayin, when another Mishnah says another case, if it's his teeth are taken out, it says explicitly that it's because of Maris Ayin. So from there I know that in the previous Mishnayos, that when it said Maris Ayin, it was only going on the case that when his eyelashes fell out, because it was going on all those cases and it just didn't specify, then why in the later Mishnah, when it says another case, it has to say again, because Maris Ayin. Obviously, if it doesn't say it, it's not because Maris Ayin. So the Rebbe says the Gemara, you're right, this that Rabbi Yechon is coming to tell us is Lafukim Hod Tanya. He's actually coming to exclude from a Tana of a Braisa, who he actually says that these cases are only possible because of Maris Ayin. So what you're right, from our Mishnah we know, because our Mishnah when he says Maris Ayin, he says explicit Maris Ayin. But that's Rabbi Yechon is coming to tell us that the halacha is like the Tana of our Mishnayis, who says that the psul is because in the Shav Bezel Shel Aaron, and to preclude from the opinion mentioned elsewhere in the Braisa. The Tana like in the Braisa. Hakachanin v'hananosin v'azav lagonin. The case of Rabbi Yechon had said, the bold one, the midget, and those with the eyes flow water, says the town of the Braisa, shame, they're actually kosher. But Amr Psul, El Mishum Maris Ayin, we only said it's possible because of it's unsightly to the eye, to the appearance of the eye, and that Rabbi Yechon comes to say that no, the halach is like our Mishnayas, which says it's because of Lafisha in the Meshav B'Zerah Shel Aaron. Says Gemara Man Haytana, who's the town of this Braisa? Rabbi Yehuda, the town like learned the Braisa, Yehuda Ayma, he says in the Pasuk in the Yikra Aleph, Ba'orchu B'nei Aaron, that the sons of Aaron, Hakahanim, that they prepare all those things on the Mizbeach. The word Hakahanim is superfluous. L'rab is Hakahanim, to include the bold ones that there are kashrut to do the Avodah. That's Rabbi Yechon says, the halacha is not like the Tana of that Braisa, and rather they're possible because of She'en Eshav B'Zerah Shel Aaron, and if they would do the Avodah, they would violate a positive commandment. Continues the next Mishnah, which regarding the topic of our parak of Mumin Elu that are psul by the Kain, Ein Le Givinin, if he doesn't have eyebrows, if it only has one eyebrow, this is the psul where it mentions in the Mumim of a Kayin, the Gibin, which is if he doesn't have these eyebrows. Now, he gives a different interpretation in Gibin. He says, it's Givinin Sheikhvin. If his eyebrows are very long and they hang over on his eyes, they lay over, that's the psul of Gibin. Chanina ben Atignas, and he gives a third interpretation. He says it's sheyesh leshnei gabin v'shtei shadrois. If he has two backs and two spines, that's what gibin is from gav of the back. That's the psul of the mumikayin of gibin. Now the Gemara wonders regarding the opening interpretation of the Tanakam of gibin. The gibin de inli mashmi says that's the gibin om batayra if he doesn't have eyebrows. But verminu, this seems to be contradicted from the Braisa. The Braisa says what's gibin? Eyebrows. Sheyesh le givinin harbe. Givinin harbe. If he has many eyebrows, what that means to say is where it's where his two eyebrows combine and there's no interruption between one and the other, so it's like he has a lot of eyebrows, that's the psul of gibin. Now says the Braisa, Ein Legvinin, if he doesn't have eyebrows, or Ein Legibin Echad, or if he only has one eyebrow, Minayin, how do we know that that's Osa Psul? Tamalimi Oigibin, from the extra word Oigibin, or eyebrows, we learn out that that's also considered Psul. So one thing you see is that, but Gibin itself doesn't mean not having any or only one. It means actually having more, having, he's the man of the eyebrows, where it's one big eyebrow. So Madam Aravi says, Zeho Midrash Oigibin. No, this is the interpretation of Oigibin. In other words, what our Mishnah was saying was, this is the Oigibin that's written in the Torah. And that Reb Deis in our Mishnah disagrees, and he doesn't expound. Oy, like our Gemara quotes, Reb Deis Aimer V'chulu, he says that no, actually the psul is where his eyebrows are very long and they hang over. That's, he's the man of the eyebrows. And he doesn't agree with the interpretation of the drush of the word Oy, which is that of the Tanna Kamma, that includes even if he doesn't have eyebrows or has only one eyebrow. Now, Chulu etc., which the third opinion on Mishnah, Mechaninim and Tignis, he said Gibin actually means to say if he has two backs, two spines. On that, the Gemara wonders, Lememr Dechai? Is that to say someone who has two backs and two spines? The Mechaninim and Tignis just said, okay, that's just going to be a mum that the Kohen can't do the Avodah, but that sounds like but such a person could survive? But Vitma, we learned, Hamapelas Beryushesh Lishne Gabin Shadrayas, if a woman miscarries, a creature that has two spines and two backs. Vama Rav, and Rav said, so Beisha, regarding a woman, Ein Avlad, that's not considered a child, and she doesn't even have the tumma of Leda of birth, which a woman usually has when she gives birth to a child. And Bebehema Asabachila, by an animal, that birth, that comes out, it's forbidden to be eaten, like a nevela, because it's a nevela, it's something that gets miscarried, and it's like it was dead, and therefore slaughtering doesn't help, because this is something that cannot survive. So you see that it can't survive, so why are you saying it's just a mum to do that vayda? Such a kind wouldn't even be there, because it can't survive. So, says the Gemara, Kvar Rama Nehalei Rav Shimon Bar Chiya Rav. Rav Shimon Bar Chiya already asked this question to Rav, as it's recorded in Masechtas Nida. V'amalei, and Rav said to him, Shimiat? You're Shimi, you're the great sage Shimi, and you don't know the answer that the halacha of our Mishnah that sounds like that he's going to survive, and I'm saying that it wouldn't survive, and therefore there's no Tumas Leida, and therefore the animal that's born is considered as Nevela. Our Mishnah is not talking about that there's literally two backs and two spines. It's talking about where the spine is bent over and it looks like two backs and that there's many spines. When I was saying, says Rav, that such a child is going to die, that was literally two backs and two spines, and therefore it's not a contradiction. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of our parak, a charim pasl. A kohen that's a charim is pasl. Now, ezeu charim, what's considered the mum of charim? It's a koichel shte'ein of ka'achas, it's where he could put on eyeliner, he could put on makeup by his eyes, in one shot, meaning that he doesn't have any nose that gets in the way between his two eyes. When he's putting on this makeup, he can go straight from one eye to the other, and the nose does not get in the way in the middle. That's considered a Mumbai coin. Or Shtein of Lamala, if he has his two eyes up above, as the Gemara will explain, or for Shtein of Lamata, or his two eyes are below, or Ina Achas Lamala ve Ina Achas Lamata, one eye is up and one eye is down. He sees at the same time when he's looking straight, he sees the room and the attic at the same time. Or Sachi Shemesh, or he can't look opposite the sun. Or Vahazagdin Vatsirim, which the Gemara explain what these mumen are. These are all considered mumen by the kind. Now, Bishanishru Risi Einov, and if his eyelashes of his eyes fall out, possibly Marisayin is going back only on the case. This last case is that's going to be a psul of just to the appearance of the eye. It's not considered a bona fide mum, and it's not even considered she'ina shav bezara shalaron. That's just a problem about that it's unsightly, and therefore such a kohen can't do that avodah. Now, turn about Linda Brysom. Going to the opening case of our Mishnah, Chorim says the Tanna Kamma is shechik mishakua. If his nose is submerged on the top of his nose, which is the part between the eyes, if that's submerged, that's considered the psul of a kind. Now, says the Brais, let's say if his nose is very short in its length, or his nostrils are closed up, or his nose is very long and it hangs down below his lips. Minayin, how do we know that those are also considered mumim? Like we said, the word oi is coming to add on mumim, that or charim, things related to the nose, that those are also considered blemishes regarding the kind. Now, Rabbi Yisem, he says, no, in charim elo, says, charim is not just if the nose is submerged. It's elo ha-keichel shtein of ka'achas. It has to be that you could put on this makeup from one eye to the other eye at one shot. That's considered charim. So Amar Lai, so the sages said back to Rabbi Yossi, Hiflakta, you went very far. That to say that it's literally you have to be able to go paint makeup from one eye to the other. No, even though it's not submerged so much, but rather if it's just submerged, that would be the psul of charm. Because as a continue Memdal Maral, they say Afa Pisha in the Kechus Tein of Kachas. Even though you literally can't paint from one eye to the other, because the nose does get in the way a little bit, but if it is submerged, there the Tanakhama disagreed with Rabbi Yossi and said that that is going to be considered the psul, the mum of charm for the kohen to do the avodah.